very few days away from Rosh Hashanah, and I thought that this was an important time to talk about a topic that will come up this Rosh Hashanah, and that comes up quite often throughout the course of the year. Let's just begin with a little bit of background. We are all familiar with the concept of a Yom Tov Sheni Shagalios. When I was a young child, we had a brachos bee, and they have different competitions, different schools, and I made it past my own school, and I then competed with other schools. I think we were in third grade or fourth grade or something. And the question that I got out on was, who instituted Yom Tov Sheni Shagalios? And one of the choices was Galias. So I thought that made a lot of sense. And that's what made me get out of the race. You know, had I known a little bit of Navi, I would have known that that's probably not the case. But Yom Tov Sheni Shagaluyos, which means of the Jews in the exile, is something that we need to be aware of. And is there any distinction between Yom Tov Sheni Shagaluyos when it comes to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos versus Rosh Hashanah? Now, by the way, you may wonder, why is it that there's only one holiday that we have, Min HaTorah, where we don't observe a Yom Tov Sheni Shagaluyos? And what is that? We have Pesach, we have Shavuos, we have Sukkos, we have Rosh Hashanah, and suddenly comes Yom Kippur, and we don't have Yom Tov Sheni. Why don't we have the same problem Yom Tov Sheni as we have all the other times? In fact, the Tur or the Beis Yosef quotes from some Rishonim that the reason why is because people wouldn't be able to survive fasting for two full days. However, he writes that there were Chassidim ve'anshei Maisa who were knowing Yom Tov Sheni Shagalios even on Yom Kippur, and they used to fast 2 days straight. So it's amazing. It's amazing that there were Chassidim ve'anshei Maisa. I don't think that we have people like that around today, but that is what is quoted in the name of the Rishonim. So what is the story with Yom Tov Sheni Shagalios? Where did it come from? The Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Beitza, Dav Dalet Amud Beis. Beitza is a Masechta that talks about many of the halachos that pertain to Yom Tov in general, not specific to Rosh Hashanah. Of course, it's something that spans all the different Yom Tovim. So there the Gemara has a whole discussion about how exactly this whole Yom Tov Sheni Shagalios actually started. And the Gemara there tells us that basically what the evolution of this was, that what happened was, there used to be Mekadesh HaChodesh Alpi HaRe'iyah, which means, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, you actually used to have to see the moon, and then two witnesses had to come in. The Beis Din in Yerushalayim used to interview them and make sure that they actually saw what they are claiming to have seen. And the Gemara describes all the different things to make sure that the Eidim are telling the truth. Once we have accepted the Eidus of those witnesses, we then declare that it is Rosh Chodesh. The problem is, how is everyone going to find out? Not so easy. So we're going to find out by sending shluchim out, by sending messengers out. How far were the messengers able to get? Well, they went as far as they could. The problem is you had some remote locations with Jewish communities living in places that were not at all around the center of the city of Yerushalayim, and certainly not around even anywhere that was remotely close to it. So how long is the maximum amount of time that it could take a shliach to travel all the way to a remote location? Now today, we don't even begin to understand the problem. We have a car, we have a train, we have an email, we have an airplane, we can get the message out to anyone as quickly as we want. So is the halacha going to change? Very good question. But for now, we have the understanding that if we put ourselves back into the minds of what was going on back then, say for example, you have Pesach, which falls out on the 15th day of Nisan, it is feasible that there were communities that were not able to be reached by the 15th day of the month. It takes a long time to get around on a horse and buggy, on a camel, on a wagon, whatever it may have been. They didn't have the opportunity to get to every single remote Jewish location. So what did those communities do? Says the Gemara, every community could look up into the sky and figure out when Rosh Chodesh, either the month is 29 days or 30 days. Everybody knows that. So that's where Yom Tov Sheni Shagalios began. Yom Tov Sheni Shagalios began because there were communities that lived far away from the Yishuv of Yerushalayim. The messengers were unable to get to them in time. And therefore, because of that concern that maybe Pesach is not going to be observed on the right day, or Shavuos or Sukkos is not going to be observed properly, they used to have the shluchim go out. Now, there's a big difference between Pesach and, say, for example, Rosh Hashanah. Why is there a difference? The difference is that Pesach is on the 15th day of the month. So we have to imagine that most cities in Yerushalayim and around the outskirts and around the periphery of Eretz Yisrael had 15 days, and that was a sufficient amount of time for them to find out. And therefore, those communities held 1 day of Yom Tov. What about Rosh Hashanah? What's the problem on Rosh Hashanah? What? No, why is it 2 days? That's what I want to know why.
Because, yeah, and the first and second day,
Oh, so here's the problem. The problem is that Rosh Hashanah is on the first day of the month. Rosh Hashanah is really Rosh Chodesh. As we say, Bakeseh Liyom Chagenu, which means that it is covered over. The moon is not so visible when we come to Rosh Hashanah. And the problem is that the beginning of that is Tikka B'Chodesh Shofar. When are you supposed to blow the shofar? On the day when the moon is pretty covered over. Now, that's obviously Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah falls out on the first day of the month. Problem is, the shluchim couldn't get anywhere. So what's going to happen in the following scenario? You have the 29th day of Tishrei, and now the witnesses come in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The shkia is at 7. So now we declare today's Rosh Hashanah. Well, what's going to be? So the Gemara said they decided we're going to have one uniform standard all over the world, and that is Rosh Hashanah is going to be 2 days. We're going to have 29 and 30 are both going to be the days of Rosh Hashanah. In order that, we're not going to ever have a problem of somebody not knowing that today is Rosh Chodesh and then inadvertently not observing Rosh Hashanah on the proper day. So that is what the Gemara says. And therefore, the Gemara assumes that Rosh Hashanah in some way takes on a little bit of a different status than a regular Yom Tov Sheni. Number one, a regular Yom Tov Sheni, let's say Pesach, is only going to be observed for 2 days if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael or very far away from Yerushalayim. But let's say we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is going to be observed 2 days wherever in the world you are. Even if you're in Eretz Yisrael, even if you're in Yerushalayim, even if you are the Beis Din HaGadol, even if you're in the Beis HaMikdash, everyone observes 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara refers to it as Yom Arichta. The Gemara says that while we assume that when we have a Yom Tov Sheni, the first day is really Yom Tov and the second day is some kind of quasi-Yom Tov, when we have Rosh Hashanah, we assume both of them are considered a Kedusha Achas. Both of them are considered to be 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. Even though it spans over 2 24-hour periods, we assume that all of them are referred to as a Yom Arichta because we want that it should be one observance of Rosh Hashanah all over the world, and we want it to be there for the reason that it might get messed up. Now, the problem is people sometimes think that because it's a Yom Arichta, because 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered to be really one long day and one Kedusha, unlike Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot is on the second day, which we know are on a lower level. First day of Pesach is Daraisa. Second day of Pesach is only Midrabanan. Rosh Hashanah, we assume, even though it's only Midrabanan the second day, but it's also considered to be a Kedusha Achas. So people mistakenly think, because we throw around this term of Rosh Hashanah being Kedusha Achas, therefore, it means I'm allowed to do things on the first day of Rosh Hashanah in order to prepare for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Why is it not really relevant this year? It's not really relevant this year because either way, it's Shabbos. So I can't heat up food on Shabbos anyway, and I can't light candles on Shabbos, and I can't do anything that I would do on the first day of Yom Tov, potentially for the second day. So this year, it's really not so relevant, but it's an important sugya to be aware of. Hachana in general, and specifically when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, is something very important. So says the Aruch HaShulchan in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah as follows. Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah Einam Domim L'Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Sharei HaMoadim. Number one, he says, let's understand, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not the same as 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuos, or 2 days of Sukkot. D'B'Sharei HaMoadim Ein Osim Be'Eretz Yisrael Rak Yom Echad. On all the other Yamim Tovim, you only observe 1 day in Eretz Yisrael, but Rosh Hashanah, but on Rosh Hashanah, we do, even in Eretz Yisrael, 2 days. V'tamash hodever, what's the reason? Tebe'esha, ha'yim mekadshin al pi ari'iyah, at the time when there used to be mekadish the chodesh based on the witnesses, ha'yukol ha'mo'adim brurim be'Eretz Yisrael, be'eza yom. Everybody knew what day to observe the holiday, because the witnesses were able to get to your community. However, he says, when you had a place in the Gola, when you had a community out in the United States where they couldn't figure out when the shliach was going to get there or when they would hear the message. So in such a case, shnei yamim tovim misafik. They used to observe 2 days misafik because we're not sure. Fine. Then he says, shelo yadu be'ezo yom nikra rosh chodesh v'lachein afo b'sha'ata. The million-dollar question is, why do we have Yom Tov Sheni today? So many people in Eretz Yisrael today, wrong people in Eretz Yisrael today say, well, Yom Tov Sheni doesn't make sense. We're going to get rid of it. It's such a good kasha. The Gemara asked the kasha. Why do we still observe Yom Tov Sheni when we have a fixed calendar? And if we have a fixed calendar, why do we have any suffix? There's nothing to be misupik about. There's no doubt that we have about this any longer. So the Gemara asked the question, why do we still observe Yom Tov Sheni in America? We know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. We know when Pesach is. Says the Gemara, V'lachein, afo pisha ata anu b'kiyim b'kviyah di yarcha, sh'anu kovim machadashim al piyach hezbam mimos hilal anasi ve'elech. Hillel set up a fixed calendar for all of us. Mikol makom, hatakana rishona omedes b'mekoma. We still observe the original takana of Yom Tov Sheni. The Gemara says, minog avoseinu b'yadenu. You like it, you don't like it, this is what we do. Minog avoseinu b'yadenu, we observe Yom Tov Sheni, even though it doesn't really mathematically make sense today. We know exactly when all of the different Rosh Hashanah are going to be, when all the Yom Tovim are supposed to be observed. It reminds me, my father always makes a joke that so many people ask questions when they go to Israel, should they keep one day of Yom Tov? They're not really B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So this is a big machlokas, a big discussion. What are you supposed to do? And it's already been discussed many times. What is the proper way to handle the situation? Now, why is this a new shaila? It's a new shaila because in Europe, they never imagined the luxury that we have today. That you can live in the United States, and you can have a parnasa here, and you can live here all year, and then you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, and then go back home? What does that mean? Maybe you'll stay for 6 months at a time. It took you 3 months to get there. You're not just going to turn around and get home. You saved up money for months to be able to do this. This is a new shaila of our generation. We are blessed to live at a time when people can go back and forth, and people maybe can work remotely. And therefore, when I go to Eretz Yisrael, I don't leave the moment that Yom Tov is over. I stay for a couple of weeks. I can work online. I can do things over Zoom. And therefore, maybe I can consider myself a little bit more of a Ben Eretz Yisrael. I have businesses there, I have businesses here, I have an apartment there, apartment here. So that's where it gets a little bit more complicated. Anyway, there are many, many different shitos about this, but be it as it may, my father always likes to say, when people come to talk to him about keeping one day of Yom Tov, when they go to visit Eretz Yisrael, and it's really not legitimate at all, right? They're just going for one Yom Tov, and they don't own an apartment, they're just staying there. So should they really keep one day of Yom Tov? So my father always says, what would the halacha be if, let's say, somebody who visited Eretz Yisrael from America had to keep 3 days of Yom Tov? If a Ben Chutz Laretz kept 2 days and a Ben Eretz Yisrael kept 3 days, would you be fighting that you want to be called a Ben Eretz Yisrael then also? Yes. You're such a Zionist, you really believe that you want to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael for everything? Or do you just want to get away with it and say, I don't want to observe 2 days of Yom Tov, so I want to be considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael? That's the way he always frames it, which I think is a great way to say it. Now he says the following. So we have 2 days of Yom Tov. Yom Tov Sheni, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Aval b'Rosh Hashanah, Shehu b'Rosh Chodesh Atzmo. But Rosh Hashanah, which falls out on Rosh Chodesh itself, Gam b'Yerushalayim ha'yosim pa'amim shnei yamim. They would also do 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. V'nimtza, Sheberov Hashanah, Masa Gam b'Yerushalayim shnei yamim shel Rosh Hashanah. So they used to have 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, and he says, Chazal called it Yom Arichta, Kelomar, as if to say, Sheshneim Kodesh, that both of them are considered Kodesh. And therefore, he says, on Rosh Hashanah, things are going to be a little bit different. For example, Muktzav Enolad B'Rosh Hashanah Mi B'Shari Yom Tov. What is the halacha? Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov. Let's say Pesach. First day of Pesach, a Beitza is born. A chick lays an egg. Am I allowed to eat the egg on that day? Says the Gemara, no. You're not allowed to eat the egg on the first day of Yom Tov when it's born. Why? That's Nolad. It's something new, a question in the Gemara. Why? What's the problem? Doesn't matter, but the Gemara says you're not allowed to. What about on Yom Tov Sheni? Can I eat it on the second day? Says the Gemara, yes. Why? Because Mamanav Shach. Either yesterday was Yom Tov and today is not, or today is Yom Tov and yesterday was not. So there's no problem. So that's what we say. Beitza Shenolda Bazeh, Muteres Bazeh. Even though if you have an egg that is laid on Yom Tov, we would not allow you to eat it on Yom Tov itself, but on Yom Tov Sheni, we would allow it. That is not the din when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. That would not be the same on Rosh Hashanah. Why? He explains there, Aruch HaShulchan, the reason why is b'chol Yom Tov, beitza shenolda bazeh muteres bazeh. If you have an egg that is hatched, that is laid on the first day, we would allow you to eat it on the second day. But here, it wouldn't be the same. V'chein, chalav shenechla b'yom harishon. Let's say you have an animal that is milked on the first day of Yom Tov. You're not allowed to eat that milk until the second day of Yom Tov, Yom Tov Sheni. Again, either today's Yom Tov or tomorrow's Yom Tov, and therefore, either way, you'd be allowed to eat it on the second day. However, he says, B'Rosh Hashanah ain't okay. If you have milk that is going to be milk from the cow on the first day of Yom Tov or Rosh Hashanah, you would not be allowed to consume it on the second day. If you have an egg that is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you would not be allowed to eat it on the second day. Why? Mishum, de'bechol Yom Tov, on every Yom Tov we say, M'manav Shach, 1 day is for sure chol, 1 day is kodesh. However, B'Rosh Hashanah, we say Yom Arichta. Yom Arichta means both days are Kodesh, and therefore he says we would assume that we would not be allowed to be Mekel. And he says, also we find that by Yom Tov, Shal Rosh Hashanah, there's a discussion about what do you do with a mace. Okay, then he gets into an issue that we're all familiar with, and that is Al Pizeh Nishava Machlokas Bein HaRishonim. What is probably the most famous, it's hard to say the most famous, but this, I would imagine, is probably the most famous dispute in the Rishonim about Rosh Hashanah that we're not even realizing is a dispute. Every single one of us in our house gets involved in the Machlokas HaRishonim. What is that? Shechiyanu. What's the Shad of Shechiyanu? So the Rishonim have the following dispute. If we say that Rosh Hashanah is considered to be a Yom Arichta, which means you're going to blow shofar on the first day and on the second day, but here it's not the same setup as we have by a regular Yom Tov Sheni. So that means by a regular Yom Tov Sheni, we say either the first day is Kodesh or the second day is Kodesh. Memanavshach. One is Chol, one is Kodesh. So maybe you'll say Shechiyanu twice. Say Kiddush twice, Shechiyanu twice, okay. However, when it comes to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, there it's Yom Arichta. So does it really make sense to say Shechiyanu when it's all one day of Yom Tov? Does that really make any sense to you? And that is why the Rishonim dispute. Why should we say Shechiyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah if we said it on the first day and this is just Yom Arichta, it's just a continuation of the first day? Correct. That's the question. So he says, Al Pizeh, based on this whole background, Nishava Machlokas Beina Rishonim Im Lomar Shechiyanu B'Kiddush U'B'Shofar B'Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. That's exactly the Shaila as you said. So he writes, Hei V'Yatur Tshuva Mirashi. The Torah quotes from Rashi, Shekasav Rabbeinu Omrim She'ein Lomar Zman B'Sheni Tekechad Yom Ha'Avi. Rashi says, why would he say Shechiyanu? We said it on the first day, and now it's just a continuation of the first day. So this makes no sense. And then he quotes other Rishonim say that we should. What is the compromise position? What do? We have a new fruit. Why do we have a new fruit? Because now you're basically saying the Shechiyanu, if on the side that I'm not supposed to say Shechiyanu today, I have a different reason to say Shechiyanu, and that's good enough. So that's why we all eat the fruit, because that's the compromise opinion to figure out how to get around this problem. But he says the whole nature of the problem only exists because this is considered to be a very different kind of structure than the Yom Tov Sheni Shogolios of any other Yom Tov that we observe throughout the course of the year. There is a very, very fascinating discussion in the Bali Machshava. I couldn't find it today, but I seem to remember Rav Dessler or Rav Simcha Zisel Broid. I couldn't remember which sefer I saw it in. Both beautiful Svarim, Michtav Melio, and also Rav Simcha Zisel has a sefer called Sam Derech. I just couldn't find either one of them today in my house. So I didn't remember which one discusses it. But he wants to try to figure out the following issue. And he says, Rosh Hashanah is not just a Yom Tov like every other Yom Tov. We know that we have Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. But he says, Rosh Hashanah is also the Yom HaDin. And there's a serious implication to that. It's the Yom HaDin, which means that we are all being judged. So he wonders, a very interesting question. It says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Kol Bo Yolam Ovrim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivnei Maron. We all stand on Rosh Hashanah in front of the Ribono Shel Olam like sheep or like soldiers. We're all standing there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us. So he wonders, well, if you say that now there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, then when are we going to be judged? The first day? The second day? When's that going to be? You're going to say it's a lingering process. He starts on the first day and then he finishes on the second day. Maybe I could have said that. It's a good question. But it seems from the Gemara that that might not be the case. Why? Because the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, a very interesting halacha. The Gemara tells us that, let's say you have a person who's unable to make it to shul. Okay, there are many people for health reasons, or they have children at home, or they're watching somebody else who needs to be at home, whatever it might be, they're unable to come to shul even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Okay, they have to make sure to blow shofar somehow. They have to have somebody come to the house to blow shofar, but if he can't make it to the minyan, so they can't make it to the minyan. Okay, so you have somebody who's davening biyachidus at home. Okay, so he's davening biyachidus, fine. You don't have the tzibur to daven with. Now, what is the halacha? When are you supposed to daven musaf if you're davening at home? And what kind of question is that? Let's say I wake up Shabbos morning, I can't sleep. And I'm not well, so I'm unable to go to shul, but I want to daven at home. Is there a restriction when we say you're only allowed to start davening musaf at this time of the day? No. You daven shachris. After you finish davening shachris, you daven musaf. And there's no limitation, or there's no restriction, or there's no guideline as to when you're allowed to daven musaf and when you're not. Okay. What happens if on Rosh Hashanah morning I wake up and I say, no, I'm just not up to it, I can't go to shul? Okay, if you're not up to it, you should stay home. If you stay home, is there a limitation as to when you're allowed to daven musaf and when not? I would have said it should be the same as every other Shabbos, every other Yom Tov. You stay home, you daven whenever you want. Says the Gemara, no. Zok the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, if you're going to daven musaf yechidus at home on Rosh Hashanah, you should make sure not to daven musaf in the first 3 hours of the day. Why? What do you mean? I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to daven shacharis at 6:30. Then I'm going to be ready for musaf at 7:15. So why shouldn't I daven in the first 3 hours of the day? Mishum, because those hours, Adam Omed Ledin, says the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge all of us in the first 3 hours of the day. So you don't want to be the person who the Ribbono Shel Olam is in the middle of his judgment and he says, Schechter is by himself at home? Let's look into him. Let's see what's going on. When you're in the tzibur and you're together with everybody else, so we assume somebody in the tzibur has a schus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give a schus for that person and it's going to spill over to all of us. We have the schus HaTzibur. When I'm davening at home, says the Gemara, don't think you're so holy. Don't think you're so great. And if you're going to be davening b'yechidus at home, don't do it in the first 3 hours of the day because that's when the judgment is happening. Now, what does that mean? It seems from the Gemara that the judgment happens on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And it sounds like it happens in the first 3 hours of the day. So then, what exactly happens? Rav Simcha Zissel is bothered with this question. I forgot who it is. But whoever it is bothered with this question. What exactly happens then? So we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So you wake up the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Would there be a restriction as to what time I'm allowed to daven musaf on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Let's say I have to daven b'yechidus both days. I have to be home for whatever reason. I'm in the hospital. I'm not well enough to come to shul. Would there be a limitation on me as to when I'm allowed to daven b'yechidus at home and when not? Now, by the way, parenthetical. So let me just read the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, Lo yispala b'yachid tfilas musaf b'Rosh Hashanah ad achar gimel sha'os hayom. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to daven musaf b'yechidus in the first 3 hours of the day on Rosh Hashanah. He does not say first day Rosh Hashanah. When the Gemara quotes the halacha, the Gemara says, Yom HaKama Derei Shata. What does that mean? The first day of Rosh Hashanah, if you're davening at home b'yechidus, don't daven musaf in the first 3 hours of the day. The Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes it, takes out that phrase and he says, on Rosh Hashanah, if you're davening at home, don't daven in the first 3 hours of the day. So what does that imply? It sounds like he's saying that on both days of Rosh Hashanah, there's some kind of judgment going on in the morning for the first 3 hours of the day. And whether you're the first day of Rosh Hashanah or the second day of Rosh Hashanah, make sure that you don't daven musaf b'yechidus in the first 3 hours of the day because that's going to put yourself in danger. That's what it sounds like he's saying. So then the question that the Baalei Machshava are bothered with is, what's going on? So I was judged on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Now the Ribbono Shel Olam pretends like that didn't happen. And then, oh, let's start all over. Tomorrow morning, we're going to wake up, we're going to say Shechiyana, we're going to blow shofar, we're going to daven musaf. Oh, now let's judge the Jewish people. What do you mean, judge them now? You just did it yesterday. Sefer Echayim and Sefer Mesim were psuchim yesterday. HaKadosh Baruch already said that Tzadikim are nachtavim l'chayim, the Rishayim are nachtavim l'misa, the Beinanim are going to wait till Yom Kippur. So what's happening? So what happens on the second day? I find that to be a fascinating question that the Baalei Machshava deal with. Figuring out what the Ribbono Shel Olam does on that day. I guarantee you, if I asked my father this question, he would say, oh, what does it matter? I don't know. It's not your problem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is doing what he's doing. But it does matter. It matters because the Shulchan Aruch here seems to say that there is some kind of difference. Say for another example, the Gemara tells us in Harius that there is a concept which is very unusual. Normally we say, lo senachashu velo sa'onenu. You're not allowed to use all these symbols in life, and you can't say, if a cat runs in front of me, that means this is going to happen, or if I go to the 13th floor, that's going to happen. You can't do all those things. However, the Gemara seems to say there's an exception when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara that we should have this idea of simanim when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Why should we have simanim on Rosh Hashanah? Why do we have simanim? So the Gemara says, because we have a concept. If you're going to eat Shana Tov and Masuka, you're going to have sweet things. If you're going to have honey, a dvash, tapuach bedvash, and you're going to have the carrots are going to be a siman for this, and the celery is going to be a siman for that, and all these wonderful things, the beets, all these wonderful ideas that we're all familiar with are all simanim on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Almost like it should rub off on the whole judgment that we're about to experience, and it should be just as sweet as the Shana Tova Masuka and everything else that we do should impact the judgment that we have. Okay, so when do you have the simanim? When do you have the simanim? How many in the room have simanim both nights? You have both nights? Oh, so it makes sense. You're from the same family, right? So you have simanim both nights. But most people, I think most people have simanim on the first night. Don't confuse. You have simanim on the first night, and then you have shechiyanu on the second night. Everybody has shechiyanu on the second night in order to take care of the machlokas HaRishonim we spoke about, whether you're supposed to have shechiyanu on the second day of Yom Tov. However, Most people only have simanim on the first night. I'll tell you, the only reason I have simanim only on the first night, I don't even remember what my father does, but he doesn't do. If I see, there's a guy who comes to my house every year who drops off a head of a lamb. If I see that thing for one extra second in my house, I won't be able to tolerate it. So we once had a guest over for Rosh Hashanah who was so excited about it, he actually like got involved and he ate it. I said, amazing, you can come back every year Rosh Hashanah and eat this whole thing. But again, we have it on the table. It's a siman yafeh. Shania LaRosh Vela Lazana, beautiful, it's great. Do we do it the second night as well? Well, let's think about it. When does the judgment end? If the judgment all takes place on the first day of Rosh Hashanah and the first 3 hours of the day, then we understand why we want to have a Siman Yafeh at the beginning of the judgment time, which is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, the onset of Rosh Hashanah. But if you're going to assume that it happens again the second day, then maybe there's room to argue that that's why some families have the practice to have it on both days of Rosh Hashanah, and not just to stop with the beginning. Says the Matei Ephraim. Yeah, Adam Ragil, Matei Ephraim talks about many of the halachos that pertain to this time of the year. And he writes, Yia Adam Ragil Lechol B'Rosh Hashanah Rubia Dainu Tilson Karsi Silka Tamri Kra. And he says that we should eat all of these different vegetables that we're familiar with. And he should say, Yomar Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu V'Elkei Avoseinu Sheyirbu Zchuyoseinu. And you should say when you eat this, Sheyikarsu Soneinu Yistalku Soneinu. And why do we do all this? Simon Sheyizkar Adam V'Yisora B'Tshuva K'Shem Mevakesh Rachamim Al Davar Zeh. That's amazing. Says the Matei Ephraim, you thought the only reason to have a siman is because you need to have a siman yafeh, that it should somehow rub off on the judgment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see everything sweet, everything's great, all the tefillos. No, you missed the boat. Says the Matei Ephraim, what is the siman all about? The siman is that as you're offering a tefillah, do you think you're just going to say that? When you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shania LaRosh Vela Lazanav, She Karsu Sonenu, are you actually thinking at your Rosh Hashanah table here in Woodmere, when you have nothing to worry about, when there's no one throwing rockets at your house, when there's nobody shooting bullets into your car as you drive on the highway, that's not the reality that we live with. Are you actually crying for the Jewish people? She Karsu Sonenu? Are you actually being mispalo? And therefore, says the Matei Ephraim, since that is the reason why we have Simanim, that of course we should do it the second night. It has nothing to do with the fact that we want to have a sweet judgment. It's in order to give us the opportunity to offer a heartfelt tefillah. And do you think a person is not going to be serious when they say that tefillah? You think they're not going to think about it? Therefore, says the Matei Ephraim, it makes sense that we should do it both nights. I know this is not the practice in most of our homes, but when I saw this Matei Ephraim, it just gives a whole perspective. I said over to my students in Stern College this week that, you know, sometimes Chazal have an idea. Like, for example, it says in Shulchan Aruch that when a person benches, they have to make sure to take the knives off the table when they bench. Why do you have to take the knives off the table? What's the problem with having a knife? I'm allowed to leave the spoon, but not the knife. So the reason why the Shulchan Aruch says is because there was once a story when somebody got to Vnei Yerushalayim, and he took the knife and he stabbed himself because he was so depressed about what was going on, that there was no Beis HaMikdash, that there was a Churban Yerushalayim, and he died. And because of that, we don't want to take any chances, and we have to remove all the knives. What's the assumption of the Shulchan Aruch? The assumption of the Shulchan Aruch is a person's going to say Vnei Yerushalayim and get so overwhelmed with tzar, with pain over what's going on, to the point that they're prepared to kill themselves over it. I have trouble even following along in the bencher and saying all the words. But here he says, there were Jews, you should just know, there were Jews out there who used to take every word of the benching and the davening seriously. So I spoke to them the other day, I gave a shiur about crying on Shabbos. So what's the halacha when you have Rosh Hashanah Shecholius b'Shabbos? So we know that we don't say Avinu Malkeinu. Why do we not say Avinu Malkeinu? Why do we leave it out? Avinu Malkeinu is a very important piece of the davening. Why do we leave it out? The Rishonim say, I think the Ran writes, the reason why is because it's going to make you cry on Shabbos. It's going to make you sad. You're not allowed to make bakashas on Shabbos because it's going to put a person in a frame of mind. It's going to make them very upset. The Yerushalmi says, not like the Bavli, but the Yerushalmi says, the reason why we don't daven Shmona Esrei on Shabbos, we have a much shorter version of the Shmona Esrei, is because when a person gets to Rifa'enu, he's going to be so distraught about all the sick people. Amazing. Yeah? When was the last time you broke down in the middle of Rifa'enu? If it's somebody in my immediate family who I'm visiting in the hospital and I say Rifa'enu, I'm very distraught about it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, what do you mean? Everyone's going to cry when they say Rifa'enu. And when I start talking about Baruch Aleinu and I think about all the people in the community who don't have a parnasa, where's my Shabbos going to go? I'm not going to have Shabbos. I'm going to be crying so much when I daven Shmona Esrei. It amazed me to see that. The Matei Ephraim says the same thing. You're going to have the simanim. What's a Jew going to do as he's looking at the simanim on his table and he's offering these tefillos? You don't think he's going to cry. You don't think he's going to offer the most heartfelt, sincere, serious tefillah, that all of these things should actually happen, and he's going to be chozer b'tshuva. Because he's going to realize, my life is so fickle, I need the help of the Ribono Shel Olam, I need him to answer all my tefillos, and the best way for me to bring that about is if I do tshuva and I change myself. So therefore the Matei Ephraim says, it would make sense to have this opportunity, not only on the first night, but to do it on the second night as well. Again, Nahara Naharu Upashte, every community has a different minhag, every family has different minhagim, and all of them are beautiful, all of them are fine, but I find it very fascinating to understand why it is that the Matei Ephraim suggests we do it this way. What do we do about the fact that the judgment maybe lingers onto the second day of Rosh Hashanah? I don't know. The Bali Machshava figure it out. I didn't have time to go through it today because I couldn't find the sefer, as I said. But it is a very interesting discussion that they have to try to really understand what is the construct, what exactly takes place as we experience Rosh Hashanah as a Yoma Arichta, as two full days of Kedusha, as we mentioned, and what exactly is the implication of that with regard to not our observance, but with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu observance of Rosh Hashanah itself. Yeah.